I do not know who Larry Wolf is. I know he was born in 1942. And I know that he wrote one song in our book. He may have written others. He'd be 81 years of age. You see, this year was when he wrote that song. I don't know that he better could describe Palm Beach Lakes and what we're trying to be. It's number 855. We're not going to sing it, but if you want the outline of this sermon, song number 855. We're part of a family. I hope you understand that. Those of you who have traveled even as far as coming from Japan to be here today, that says something about this family. And that the fact that there are those who have moved back into this area who were former members, but they said, when we retire, we're going to come back. Current members of this congregation say, I moved back to Palm Beach County, and I moved back so that I could be a part of Palm Beach Lakes. We're a family. And so the verse says, if you've been baptized into Christ, you become a part of your sons of God. That's what that family is. Sons of God, the family of God. You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:26 says, because every one of you is a son of God, have been baptized into the very Jesus Christ Himself. We're part of a family that's been born again. You know where it all started. Jesus came, Matthew 16:18, to build the church. And did He do what He said He was going to do? Absolutely. A church that is so powerful and so meaningful that even the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And so the song talks about together forever. It begins on this earth, but it began there on Pentecost. But was it not Jesus who said, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven, you will not be able to even see the kingdom of God? And by see, that's the depths of understanding, and not just standing outside and sort of glancing and with the eye behold, but you'll never see nor appreciate the kingdom of God. You'll never enter that kingdom except you're born of water and the Spirit. Some people said, I think that must be the most difficult verse in the Bible to understand, a birth of water and the Spirit. They didn't have difficulty in understanding it. When that church was born 2,000 years ago, and oh, what a homecoming there someday will be of all of the saints from 2,000 or more. Who knows how long before the end? But from millennial after millennium, thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands, when we all get to heaven, when He takes us by the hand and leads us through the promised land, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Birth of water in the Spirit. See it when it all began. Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit of God came, and the kingdom could not have come unless Jesus had gone away and sent the Spirit in order that the Spirit might be part of giving birth of those who were in the very kingdom of God, in the house of God, in the family of the living God. Ask them on that day what happened. The Holy Spirit of God came down and brought a message that nobody had ever heard. The Bible said it had not entered into the heart of any man. And you pick up this book and you can read that very sermon, every word of it. Not a single word of it has been lost. Pick up this book and the very sermon that you heard them on the, heard, that they, that heard them the very sermon they heard, you can hear it. Where did it come from? The Holy Spirit of God. And when they recognized they had killed the Son of God and said, what shall we do? We've killed God's Son. And that's the answer to every sin-sick person who seeks to deal with this past. We killed God's Son. What shall we do? You've got to repent. You've got to commit yourself. You've got to be baptized in order that those sins, the very sin of crucifying the Son of God, that those sins might be forgiven. And it happened. They went into the water. The Holy Spirit of God led them to the water. For Peter said, repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Spirit. They that gladly received the word, and that day 3,000 souls were added unto them. Added unto, who's the them? Look at verse 47. The next day, and the day after that, and the day after that, there were others who did what the Spirit told people to do on Pentecost, and the next day, people repented and they were baptized, and the Lord, verse 47, added them to that church that Jesus said He would build. That church, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, is called the house of God, the family of God. And what happened after that? Those apostles filled with the Holy Spirit began to tell them how to live as Christians. And verse 42 of that chapter says, and they continued in the apostles' teaching. You've got to understand, the leading of the Spirit that began on that day through the apostles continued as they revealed other things and as the church began to develop. And are you aware that the very words those apostles gave in order that that first church might develop and might be fully developed, it happened because the Holy Spirit gave them the very directions as to what to do. And so it was as the church grew, they had the directions of the apostles. And it wasn't long before that church had deacons, had those seven servants, deaconos, the word is used to describe them. Wait a minute. If that church had deaconos, deacons, should not we? Are you aware that in the 100 years history of this church, 96 men have served as deacons? That's remarkable. Wouldn't it be great if we just had a list of all those men? Unheralded? Those individuals whose you can remember some of them, can you not? And it's not long before we read of that church in Jerusalem having elders. Acts chapter 11, that church has elders. Are you aware in the 100-year history of this congregation, there have been 23 elders? Thank God for them. Thank God for those who've preached. 31 different preachers have stood in the pulpits, full-time preachers. 7 on Coniston Road. 7 on North Olive. And then 14 on 36th Street. You got, let's at least bring Bill Hatcher from North Olive all the way down to 36th Street. You got to bring Ray Duncan down, I'm sorry. 14 preachers on 36th Street. And 7 preachers here on Leo Lane. 31 preachers. 11 secretaries. Thank God for those who have been secretaries in this church. And I stand here and I look and I see some of you and I know the debt that I owe to you. The more than 30 missionaries we've supported. Josh, you came as one of our youth guys. You became our missionary to Paraguay. And we bid you Godspeed in the work that you are undertaking in the new program of work calling Answering Macedonian Calls. Because of this church and its reputation, but it has no reputation, every bit of the glory belongs to God Almighty. It's not those elders, it's not those deacons, it's not those preachers, it's not those secretaries. It is Almighty God working. And people are calling this church and says, we're a small church. Can you come and help us? COVID has just about killed us. What can you do to help us? And the wisdom of elders that said, we've got too many preachers here. Preachers, get out of this building. And when these Macedonian calls come, you get out there and help them every way you can. And Josh, what a commitment you've made, you and Kara, to give up and sell your house, to live in an RV for the foreseeable future. And we bid you Godspeed in what you're doing. Josh, from a personal point, and I speak for those who are preachers here, we're really going to miss you. But thank you, congregation. Because you see, we are that family. We are that family because that seed that was planted, Luke chapter 8, verse 11, described the beginning of that church and said, it comes about because seed is planted, and that seed is the Word of God, and it was not long before those individuals began to go out and began to carry the gospel everywhere they went. They took the seed and they scattered the seed. And thank God for Palm Beach Lakes and the seed that has been sown. Works of mission work that we've done. 57, at least I saw one list of 57 gospel meetings. And the list of those men who spoke in those gospel meetings. What a list. Was it you or Ron that mentioned it, Kevin, that those names of preachers preaching the word, mission work that has been done, and thank God for an eldership that understands the work of the church, that it is edification, and thank God for them that they provide the Bible class programs, outstanding Bible classes, to help us grow and proclamations of the word from the pulpit and in the writings, the bulletins, and in our website. Thank God for all of that. Thank God for the elders who understand benevolence. We say, not enough, but $25,000 plus were given last year for benevolence to help people in this area. And that's not an unusual number for almost all of the years. And some of you who sit here this day have been recipients of that benevolence, and it's because you're family. We're part of a family. We're part of a family that's been born again. We're part of the family whose love knows no end. And the very reason the church exists, to go pick the fruit, to use the word that Ron talked about, to do all that we can to plant the seed. And that seed that was planted in the first century is planted here. If this is not true, it should be true, that a first century Christian could walk into this building and see in this building the very same thing that was in the church in the first century. The worship would be exactly the same. what we're called religiously, the morality we proclaim, the organization of the church. It's all in here. And you take this seed and you plant this seed, and that first century Christian that was there, being part of planting this seed, could walk hopefully into this building, and if it is not true, if this is not a church of Christ, let's take that name off and quit deceiving people in this area. It was his church, and he brought it and he planted it on this earth, and he gave that which will cause this church to exist. And thank God that if a first century Christian walked in this building, he'd say, you know, they're doing it just like... He might not recognize the paraphernalia that holds the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, but it's the first day of the week, and because it was the first day of the week, and they partook of it every Sunday, so does this church of Christ. And because that first century church gave on the first day of the week, so we gave. Some have looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and Paul does not say that there be no contribution after I come, but he says, when I come, have it already. There's no indication. He didn't say, stop it, and after that, there'll be no contribution. And so we gave. Why? We've been born again, and that love never ends. That first century Christian could hear us pray and would hear and understand everything that we prayed, because that book which guided his prayer is the book that guides our prayer, where we as one body cry out to God with one heart, one mind, and one soul to the Almighty God. And he'd say, they're still praying for each other. They're still praying for the lost world. They're still praying that people don't obey the gospel. We're praying like that. He said, it's still here. And he wouldn't recognize the dollar bills, but he'd know exactly what it is whenever he sees this contribution. He'd see what it is when we sing together, not featuring any one man who has some greater vocal cords than any other individual and bringing glory and honor to man. That's a part of what is in Christendom. But folks from Christendom walks in and they say, one of the great things is to being in a church that is God-centered and not man-centered. And you've been part of a heavenly choir that has been singing just like you have about the very same things that you've been singing about. And they've been singing about it since the very first century. They sang psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And the melody is not the melody that came from the throat. It's the melody that comes from the heart. And he said, they're still doing it. And it's my prayer that if a first century Christian walked into this building and said, you see that little short, fat preacher up there? He's saying exactly what Paul said. The seed is here. And thank God for all that you've done. That love never ends. And it doesn't. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. Pure and undefiled religion, visit the fatherless and the widows. I don't know the current number, but once I counted 42 different widows that are in this congregation. The number of widowers, men who've lost their wives. You are experiencing, because of that happening over and again in the last few years in this congregation, you are experiencing the very same thing that widows experience every time they walk into this building. when he meets sorrow. We feel your grief, not like you do. And when you pass through the valley, we all feel relief. And there's sorrow when your children grow up and break your heart. And we feel your grief. There's sorrow when you lose not just a husband or a wife, but when you lose a son or a daughter or a mother or a father. That's what families do. And God help us to feel each other's grief. Sometimes we laugh together. And oh, what that was like last night when more than 200 of us were here and there was laughter of stories that have been told and that were told, I'm not sure how many, but that you have a story about Palm Beach Lakes. And some of them have to do with this church being here when your life was just falling to pieces and you were there, or when you were out in that world of sin and some way, somehow you were brought into this place. That love never ends. Why? Because this is eternal. And the church is not a building. It's not Coniston Road. It's not North Olive. It's not 36th Street. It's not Lee Old Lane. It is the heart and the soul of every one of us who are here. Sometimes we laugh together, and sometimes we cry. That's what it's all about. We're together in sunshine. We're together in rain. And together in victory. In His holy name. Thank God for all of the victories. Thank God for those elders. It's been my honor to serve under 19 of those 23 elders. Wouldn't it be good to have a list of all those elders? 23 different elders, 96 deacons. But what about all those who died? Look around you. Those of you who've driven to some distance, you came here and all of a sudden people that used to be here are no longer here. And that's what family is all about. And sometimes we dream together. We dream about Mission Sunday. Who would have ever dreamed? Thank God for elders who said, let's take one contribution a year and encourage everybody to save all year and let's see what we can give on that day. That first Mission Sunday when we had to have $50,000 just to do as much mission work as we'd done the previous year. And we talked about it. If I say Joe and Jerry and Johnny and Harold and Bill, dream together. Maybe there were others that, maybe I've got the wrong five men that are there at that time. But 200 years ago, when three or four families said, we've got to have in Palm Beach County this church that's in the Bible. valleys, trials, and victory. If they could have ever dreamed that someday, as the fruit of the labor that they laid out 100 years ago and the direction that they gave to this congregation and all of those 57 gospel meeting preachers that's been here and all of those 20 or all of those speakers on 20 plus annual lectureships, 4 or 5, 6 or 7 of those. And what about all those that's been baptized? I talked a moment ago, Keith, about you. Didn't call you by name. Those who've moved back. Thank God. When you and your brother were walking across that parking lot on 36th Street, and somebody went out, and because this is the Eatonist Church and the Brotherhood, it was a gospel meeting, but we always eat a big meal before a gospel meeting. Thank God somebody went out and says, "Will you come in and enjoy eating with us and then stay for the meeting?" And that very week, Keith and Kevin became a part of this family. And the joy that they brought. We see those names. Hundreds. Thousands. That's been baptized. How great it would be if we just could remember them all. And not just remember them. Keith, when you walked back, I don't know, 6 months ago, a year ago, whenever you said, I remember that day, I remember that invitation, and we're moving back into this area. Because we've been to other places, and we miss Palm Beach Lakes. And I want to thank God for all of those who've traveled such distances that you have carried, not Palm Beach Lakes, but have carried what you have experienced in Jesus' church in this place, and by your influence, you've carried it to other places. Who would have ever thought Pete and Chris Harker, you'd someday be an elder in the church? But it's not just Pete and Chris. How many elders and how many other places? How many gospel preachers, David? 20 gospel preachers we supported in schools of preaching, or close to that number. Why? Because we dream together. And that song, the last verse says, we dream together of how great it will be when we all get together. Though some go before us, we'll all meet again. Just inside the city that has no end. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no more sorrow. With Jesus we'll be together forever. God's family. And I know I speak the heart of every one of you who's here. Thank God. to the rest of you who are here that you've shown us on this earth what God's family is and what it can be when we turn our focus and we become God-centered and desire nothing more than to love each other and love a lost world. We've been born again, and we have a love for which there is no end. How does that impact you? What a day. What a day. What a day of rejoicing and universal with all of the redeemed. Coming to sitting down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Peter and Paul and James and all of those great first century Christians. What a great day that will be. But brethren, think about what a great day that will be when those of us who have worked together and have received the heritage from those who've gone before, when together with them He takes us by the hand and leads us through that promised land, what a day of rejoicing that will be. But it'll not happen unless you're born of water and the Spirit. You are sons of God. Galatians 3:26 says, by faith you are sons of God because you have been baptized into Christ. And so that verse says, we've been born again, for Jesus has saved us and made us His own. And if you've never done that, we're going to sing a song to encourage you to be born of water and the Spirit. See, the Spirit has told us, except you believe that I'm He, you die your sins. And Jesus said that, and I'm telling you what Jesus said. And He was the head of this church and has been head of the church since that first century. He's the one who says, except you repent. And I'm telling you what Jesus said. And Jesus is the one who says, you must confess me before men, and I'll confess you before the Father. And I'm telling you what Jesus said. And if you'll tell us that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we can then do the very thing that happened on that day. Believers in the Son of God who repented, 3,000 on that day, went down into the water. For Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Not some miraculous prayer written by some man, but an individual who hears a message given by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God, which in that day came and through the words of the apostles convicted men of sin and of righteousness to come. And we have those same words may have convicted you right now of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come, and you're there in that situation. What am I going to do about the sins of my past? And the answer hasn't changed. Repent and be baptized, and He'll wash away your sins in the blood of Jesus. You are children by faith because you have been baptized, Galatians 3:27. And then what happens? You become a part of God's family. Not some religious movement started by some man hundreds of years after Jesus started that original church. But you become a part of that very church. You are sons of God because you've been baptized. And the prayer of this church is that you'll do that this day. To those of you who are members of this church, how many times have you heard be faithful until the day that you die. I want to say something. And then I want, after I say this, when I get to the very end of it, we'll sing that song of invitation. And that is the time for you to come and obey the gospel. Or to ask Jesus to restore you to your first love. But I want to tell you something. And I don't want you to ever forget it. It's always right to do right. And it's always wrong to do wrong. It's never right to do wrong. And it's never wrong to do right. And that's right. Because this is right. Because the Bible is right. And if you're not right with God right this moment, then you will you not respond to the invitation right now as together we stand and sing.